In Vancouver's downtown east side, a doctor walks among society's most marginalized, witnessing addiction's devastating impact firsthand. The Buddhist concept of hungry ghosts, beings with insatiable cravings they can never satisfy, perfectly captures the addicted state. What makes Gabor Mate's exploration so powerful is his dual perspective: physician to severely addicted patients and someone wrestling with his own behavioral addictions. This creates a bridge between worlds often kept separate. The Portland Hotel Society houses those society has abandoned, the non-housable, without demanding sobriety or medication compliance. For many residents, it's the only home they've ever had, a stark reality reflected in their statistics. 75% had over 5 addresses in the year before being housed, 90% have criminal records, and 36% are HIV positive. Here, death is a constant companion, with mortality rates 10 times higher than the general population. Yet amid this chaos, authentic human connection flourishes in ways rarely seen elsewhere. Residents share their last cigarettes, sit with dying neighbors, and demonstrate remarkable resilience despite constant loss. Addiction represents a flight from distress rather than pursuit of pleasure. When we flee vulnerability, we create a void felt as alienation or emptiness. Drugs offer protection from pain while allowing engagement with the world. "It's not that my senses are dulled. They open, expanded," explained one young woman. "But the anxiety is removed and the nagging guilt." The brain's reward system becomes rewired through sustained drug use until normal pleasures pale compared to chemical highs. While natural rewards increase dopamine moderately, eating 50%, sex 100%, intense exercise 200%, crystal methamphetamine creates a staggering 1,200% surge. Physical exhaustion affects many addicts due to emotional drainage, poor nutrition, and disturbed sleep patterns often dating to childhood. "I just couldn't go to sleep, ever," says Maureen. "I never even knew there was such a thing as a good sleep until I was 29 years old." Most troublingly, addicts often can't imagine life without substances, as drugs become woven into their identity. "I don't want to give up being an addict," says Chris, despite his recently fractured face. "I like who I am." Serena's story illustrates trauma's generational cascade. Abandoned at birth, she suffered years of sexual abuse from male relatives. At 15, she saved $500 and searched for her birth mother in Vancouver's downtown east side, only to have her mother forcibly inject her with heroin and take every dollar. The death of her grandmother, her only source of unconditional love, has pushed her towards suicide. Most devastating is watching her own 14-year-old daughter, born when Serena was 15, now struggling with crystal meth addiction. This pattern repeats, particularly within Indigenous communities still bearing colonial trauma. Angela McDowell exemplifies this duality. Currently a cocaine-addicted hustler, her radiant smile and natural authority reveal her traditional upbringing by her shaman grandfather, embodying both cultural resilience and generational trauma's devastating impact. Brain development in the uterus and during childhood primarily determines addiction risk. The human brain is remarkably immature at birth, a compromise allowing for larger brains and upright posture. 3/4 of brain growth occurs outside the womb, with neural Darwinism strengthening useful connections while pruning unnecessary ones based on environmental input. 3 conditions are essential for optimal brain development: nutrition, physical security, and emotional nurturing, with the latter most commonly disrupted in Western societies. The infant's brain uses the parent's brain to organize its own processes through attachment relationships. Even parental mood impacts development. Infants of depressed mothers display depression-like EEG patterns and elevated stress hormones. Without proper emotional input, children develop abnormal neural connections, leading to poor impulse control and self-destructive behaviors, precisely the deficits seen in hardcore addicts. The Adverse Childhood Experiences study found that each adverse childhood experience increased early substance abuse risk 2 to 4 times. Those with 5 or more ACEs had 7 to 10 times greater risk. Claims that addiction is 50 to 80% genetically determined rest on flawed assumptions. Media once heralded an alcoholism gene, but researchers had merely identified a dopamine receptor variation more common in alcoholics, a finding subsequent studies couldn't replicate. Genes influence temperament and substance sensitivity, but don't dictate complex behaviors like addiction. With only about 30,000 gene sequences, fewer than some worms, our genetic material cannot possibly program the brain's network of 86 billion neurons. Rather, genes respond to their environment. Epigenetics shows how experiences influence gene function through chemical markers called methyl groups that attach to DNA and direct gene activities. These modifications can persist across generations, creating a biological link between environment and heredity. Maternal stress during pregnancy affects fetal brain development through elevated cortisol levels, particularly in regions governing emotion regulation and reward processing, potentially increasing future addiction vulnerability. The war on drugs fails spectacularly while enriching criminal enterprises. Despite $5 billion in U.S. aid, Colombia remains the largest cocaine producer, with shipments increasing 40% in 2007 and cultivation expanding 16%. This legal framework benefits drug cartels. Heroin costing $3,000 in Pakistan sells for $150,000 on Canadian streets, forcing addicts to generate $50,000 annually. The U.S. economic burden exceeds $100 billion yearly. Criminalization drives desperate measures. One patient exhausted a $70,000 inheritance in weeks. Another made $190,000 dealing but kept just $10,000. Most turn to theft, with stolen goods typically yielding only 10% of their value. A $300 day habit requires stealing $3,000 worth of merchandise. This approach wrongly assumes addicts can freely choose sobriety, ignoring neurological reality. Like obsessive-compulsive disorder, addiction creates a brain lock where neural circuits become stuck together, overriding rational judgment. When the impulse to use arises, addicts have minimal capacity to resist as addiction commandeers brain circuits and bends them toward maladaptive behaviors. Harm reduction offers a pragmatic approach when abstinence isn't immediately achievable. At the Portland Hotel, Dr. Mate helped a patient safely inject drugs rather than risk a dangerous neck injection, not enabling addiction, but preventing fatal complications while building trust. Arguments that harm reduction wastes resources on undeserving people ignore how much healthcare already treats lifestyle-related conditions. Healing addiction requires changing both external environments and internal conditions. Research shows enriched environments create measurable brain changes, thicker cortical layers, larger nerve cells, more elaborate branching, and richer blood supply, even in old age. Animals deprived before birth or damaged in infancy can compensate through structural changes in enriched conditions. The mind can rewire malfunctioning brain circuits through conscious mental effort, what Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz calls mental force. Mindful attention activates the prefrontal cortex, precisely where addicts' brains are impaired. Dispassionate self-observation helps recognize not just thoughts, but underlying emotions, unlocking the automatic patterns that entrap the addicted brain. Addiction represents a spiritual crisis, disconnection from one's essential self. We are all hungry ghosts in some measure, seeking outside what can only be found within. True healing comes from compassionate understanding of the wounded child within each addict, reaching for connection in the only way they've learned how.